You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
The Raiders taking Ruggs at 12. The great Tim Brown is kind enough to join us. Timmy, good to catch up. I hope your family's healthy and safe. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Really good. Draft was interesting last night. First off, before we get to the picks, just how ABC, ESPN, you've been in broadcasting for a while, pulled off this virtual draft. What'd you think?
Man, I thought that it was pretty seamless, you know. I mean, the commissioner looked a little uncomfortable turning to the screen and, you know, virtually hugging people and that kind of stuff. But other than that, man, I thought they did a pretty good job. Under the circumstances, you know.
Yeah, and Timmy, I thought the really big pivot point for me before we get to the Raiders pick was the fact that Tua and Justin Herbert, the two quarterbacks at 5 and 6, that neither one of those teams had to go up and trade for them. So there wasn't a lot of chaos early on in the first couple of picks. Did you think those quarterbacks would be there at 5 and 6?
I have to admit, man, and someone was hitting me in the head the other day and said, man, what's wrong with you? But I don't see this Tua thing. I've been trying to jump on this bandwagon, man, and love this kid and think that he is going to be the greatest of all time. But I'm sorry, I'm just not there yet. Now this Justin Herbert kid, I mean, with the arm that he has, the ability to move around a little bit, I think he's going to be special, man. No doubt about it.
Tim Brown is our guest, and Tim, the Raiders at 12. This is what really fascinated me because you didn't know if there was going to be a run on the wide receivers with the Jets or Jacksonville before, or if someone was going to trade up in front of Gruden and Mayock and go after Ruggs or Judy or CeeDee Lamb, who ended up going to the Cowboys. So what do you think of the Raiders' first pick? They took Ruggs, the big game breaker from Alabama.
Yeah, you know, I think his top speed ends up being the difference between him and Judy, you know. I think when you look at these kids, you know, they both have the ability to make big plays, but Ruggs seems to have a little better top speed. And, you know, the thing I like about him is not only is he a fast guy, but he seems to have a little wiggle in him once he gets the ball in his hand. So, and that's obviously something that in this league, if you have speed and the ability to make people miss after you get the ball in your hands, it can be very explosive with the wide open spreading people out. You literally have to make one guy miss sometimes, and you can take it to the house.
Hall of Famer Tim Brown is our guest. Tim, I talked to Freddie Biletnikoff about this. I want to ask you the same thing. It's interesting what's happening with Tyreek Hill and a couple of these smaller, undersized receivers who are catching the ball almost behind the line of scrimmage or getting it quickly. Ball comes out quickly, and then they're able to take off and go for 50, 60, 70 yards. It seems like Gruden wanted that type of player, similar to what Andy Reid has with Tyreek Hill with the Chiefs.
Yeah, you know, I think, man, again, the way defenses are being, you know, I was thinking, oh, man, Gruden was, I heard that about 4 or 5 days ago through a source that Ruggs was probably going to be the pick. So I did, you know, looked him up a little bit, saw that he was a little undersized. And I'm thinking, man, this guy, can he play that Z position? Can he go in that block and do those things you have to do? Then I'm like, dude, we don't play football like that anymore. What's wrong with you? This thing is all spread out, you know, so again, if you have a guy who has the quickness and ability to make a guy miss or to get through a hole, literally, man, if you can make one guy miss, you're gone because the field is so spread out now. So, yeah, man, I think you have to now. This Tyreek Hill is on another level, right? And no one is saying that Ruggs is going to be him right off the bat, but certainly he has the ability to make those kind of big plays.
The great Tim Brown joins us. Tim, I look at this offense now with Ruggs probably, and he should be the primer. He should be the number one, but there was no Antonio Brown last year. Tyrell Williams moves over to the two, but he played one for most of last year. And I keep getting back to Hunter Renfrow, who really progressed and played well in the slot and made a lot of big catches. But I want to go back to Darren Waller again with you. I just feel like he's almost more of a wide receiver. Line him up extremely wide. Get him in motion. How does Coach Gruden get Waller open along with Renfrow underneath and then let Ruggs do his thing maybe on the outside?
Well, I tell you what, this is the greatest thing that could have ever happened to Waller is having a kid like Ruggs to come in. As you remember our James Jett days, man, the beautiful thing about James Jett is defense has always had to account for the fact that he could blow by you at any time. So what does that do for me? That opened up the middle of the field most of the time. If I had James Jett clearing out on the opposite side or on my side, then I knew that that safety was going to be out. If he wasn't, then the quarterback had to throw that thing over the top. You know, so now with a guy like Waller, he's going to see so much space, so much more open room, because now if he's on the same side with Ruggs, or even if Ruggs is clearing out from the other side and he's coming across the middle, he's going to notice that safety is going to be a couple, 3 or 4 yards deeper than he was prior, man. And that gives you the opportunity, even a big man like himself, to catch that ball and turn it up, man. And, it's going to be a great thing for Waller, man. I think, I don't know if he's kissed the rug pitcher yet on the internet or something, but he needs to find one that kisses right now, because this kid is going to be – he's going to have years to his career.
What'd you think of the signing of Jason Witten and the active offseason for Mike Mayock? They were really active on the defensive side of the ball. But, Timmy, if that offensive line comes back completely healthy – with the fullback in goal blocking for Josh Jacobs, with Ruggs, Waller, Renfrow, Williams, as we're talking about, you got Rodney Hudson, a Pro Bowler, Colt Miller, a first round pick, incognito. Trent Brown paid more than any player to ever live at the tackle position. I mean, Gabe Jackson, that's a pretty loaded offense coming out of the offseason, and they got picks tonight.
No doubt about it, man. I think the guys have done an incredible job. So Jason Witten is here in Dallas with me, and he actually called me before he made the decision, you know, asked me about the organization, asked me about Gruden. And, I told him, I said, brother, if you don't love football, don't go to Vegas, because this guy loves the game to the nth degree, and he's going to drive you crazy if you don't love the game. You know, and, you know, Jason was cracking up laughing. But, you know, that's what it came down to. And Jason still loves the game, man. He wants to go and help a young kid out and maybe help a franchise, man, get to the place that they haven't been in a long time.
Wrapping it up with Tim Brown. So, Tim, I've been talking to leaders on all the platforms that I'm hosting, and you're a leader. You've always been a leader since I met you. Just give me your overall picture on how your life has changed with the shelter in place, the quarantine. You're really... really tight with your family, your extended family. How are you getting through this with the family? What's it been like?
It hasn't been bad at all, man. You know, I think for my 17-year-old twins, brother, they're flipping their lids right about now, right? I mean, they're used to, you know, being on the run and doing this and doing that. But staying in the house has been a little rough on them. But I'm used to doing a lot of traveling, you know. So I always look forward to being able to sit in my massage chair, brother, and chill out. And, maybe I'm doing that a little bit too much now, but at the same time, it's not the worst thing in the world for me. I'm still getting some work done. I usually work from the house a lot anyway and don't go to the office. So that's not too much different for me. But my poor wife, man, you know, you guys pray for her, man. She's having a very difficult time. She is an on-the-go girl. And she has all these different committees that she's on in Dallas. And for her to be in the house, man, for more than 2 days in a row, it's a big deal. So she is having a very, very difficult time. But on a serious note, man, my oldest daughter actually came down with the virus.
Oh.
And our last time, she took the test again last week, and she was still testing positive. So, practically, we're hoping that she just took the test again on Tuesday and Wednesday, and she should get the test back today or tomorrow. And we're hoping that she's going to be negative, and we'll finally get a chance. She's in L.A. by herself. You know, we can't go out there because she has the virus. We can't be around her anyway. But we got plenty of family and friends out there taking care of her. So.
Tim, I got to stay on that. I know how important your faith is. That's got to be the most difficult thing in your life as a father, not being able to be there because of these times that we're living in, and you and your wife, and how you're dealing with that every night when you go to bed. That is tough.
Yeah, it is tough, man. And she's dealt with asthma her whole life and really hasn't had anything that, you know, had it to affect in the last 5 or 6 years. But prayerfully, she Didn't really have a lot. She had a little fever initially, but her lungs never filled up. You know, she never had that issue going on, which was great. But what it did do was it activated her asthma. And so she ended up having a couple little minor asthma attacks and things of that nature. She kept going to the hospital. They kept telling her, you know, your lungs are great. But so she had to go back to her inhaler, which she literally hadn't had in 5 or 6 years. So that was our worry. But, you know, thankfully, when she got this, and this is how much everything is changing almost day to day, you know, it wasn't a big worry. You know, she's a young kid. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, she went to the hospital. They were like, oh, no, you know, yeah, you may have it, but we're not going to test you because you're in that age group where we're not worried about it. But, you know, if it would have happened today, I think we would have gone to L.A. no matter what, because I think the concern is a lot more, no matter what age you are, than it was, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Absolutely. My wife and I will be praying for her. Timmy, thanks for sharing that, because it'll help other parents out there and other people who are going through this. We got good times ahead. When I see you next, when the Raiders get rolling here in Vegas or before that, thanks so much for doing this. And again, prayers to your daughter and everybody involved with you, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, baby. Appreciate you, man.
You got it. Tim Brown, the Hall of Famer.
Thank you for listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.